Romans chapter 8. Brothers and sisters, listen to these beautiful, life-changing words. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, in who? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Those who are in the flesh, Trinity Baptist, cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. We're going to see more of that in a minute. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Praise God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you are in Christ. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Look at Titus chapter 3 behind me on the screen. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. Carrie asked us, you have any good deeds that you're trusting in for your salvation? And you saw me raise up my hand like this, zero. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but on what basis? According to his mercy. How did he save us? By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. He saved us by regenerating us when the Holy Spirit came into our hearts. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have eternal life. And if you don't, you do not. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified, remember, justified is God's legal declaration of you, righteous. Righteous. This is all my righteousness. Sing it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So what should our response be to this awesome grace What should our response be? What's next in this beautiful Romans 8? Would you please stand with me? We're going to do only three verses today, and let's read them together. So then, brethren, we are under obligation. Verse 12, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. A powerful passage, a life-changing passage, and a very important truth today. Let's pray together. Would you pray right now that God would speak to you through this passage? You need to hear these three verses. You need these three verses. Pray that God would speak to you through these three verses and touch your life and change your life forever. Would you pray for the other people in this room that God would help them understand these three verses and that the Holy Spirit would touch their hearts and change their lives forever? Pray for the other people in this room today. Now would you pray for me? I have one job and one job only, to explain these three verses to you exactly the way Paul intended them to be spoken. Pray for me today. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart bring you glory by speaking your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. A lot of college students have to endure a bunch of difficult jobs when they're going through college, and I am the same. I had many, many jobs going through college. It took me 9 years to get through, and I had many, many jobs going through college before I even moved to Indio and you all met me. And one of those jobs, I was a laborer on a construction site. You know that that's the best I'm going to do on a construction site. I was a laborer on a construction site, and I did not work for Chris. For two reasons. One, he was probably in second grade or something. But also, I had never met him yet. I worked for a boss that came out of the womb in a bad mood, apparently. So he is yelling at all of us. And I'll never forget this one time. I almost quit on the spot, but I didn't. We were hanging a beam. A beam is these things here. Now, praise God, it was smaller than that. But we were hanging a beam by hand. There was three or four of us, and the boss was tying the beam in with bolts. The three of us were holding it. And one of my coworkers had a bad back, and it wasn't me. And this gentleman could not afford surgery, so he was just popping pills. I would see him pop pain pills all day long, every day at work. He had a back injury. It needed to be surgically repaired, but he couldn't afford it. So he's holding the beam. And this is taking a long time. The boss can't get the holes lined up, and we're moving it, and we're all getting very tired holding this beam. And I look over at my coworker, and he is in pain. And he's not complaining, but he's in pain. And we're trying to get this beam tied in, and finally he says, "We need to hurry this up." And the boss turned around and said, "If you complain, I'm going to take longer." And I thought, what an inhumane thing to do. I was very happy when I no longer work for that gentleman anymore. You know that non-Christians have a cruel, cruel master. And that master is sin. And it is so wonderful that when the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, not only are we set free from the penalty of sin in hell forever, we are set free from the power of sin. When the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, sin is no longer our boss. We're set free. We're set free. Look at Titus chapter 2 behind me on the screen. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from what? Every lawless deed. And to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Salvation includes a radical change of eternity and a radical change of life right down here. It's a complete package. I read a missionary story one time of a missionary who was out in a foreign country, and he was in a jungle setting, and he brought with him a firearm for protection. The villagers didn't have firearms, and the villagers were out about in the village, and a wild animal, perhaps a lion or a tiger or something like this, came and attacked. I need to be careful because I don't remember the details of stories too well. But it was a lion or a tiger or something like that, came and attacked. And the missionary was aware of what was going on. He grabbed his rifle or shotgun or whatever it was, and he ran out and opened fire and rescued one of the villagers who would have most certainly died. He went back inside. The next morning he comes out, and this man who he rescued is sitting on his front porch. Hello. Hello. Or whatever their language was. And he went about his day, and he went back inside and went to bed. Woke up the next day, came out, and the man is still sitting on his front porch. Hello. Hello, went about his day, went to bed, got up the next morning, goes out, the man is still sitting on his front porch. So in the tribal language, he says, "Can I help you?" And the man said, "You obviously don't understand our culture. You saved my life. I belong to you. I belong to you." Brothers and sisters, Jesus saved your life. He saved your life. What should your response be? Verse 12 says, therefore, we are under obligation. Number one in your notes. Since the Holy Spirit has given us life, we are obligated. It is our duty to forsake a life of sin and embrace the Holy Spirit's way of life. Look at verse 12 again. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you most certainly will die. You must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I want you to notice the three most important words in that verse. Verse 13, by the Spirit. by the Spirit. If you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will live. If the Holy Spirit lives in your heart, you are saved. You are forgiven. You have been washed clean of your sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Christ has paid the penalty for your sins. You are set free from the penalty. You are also set free from the power. You are set free. Look at Romans 6 behind me on the screen. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Either to sin, resulting in death, or to obedience, resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. This is so important, brothers and sisters. This is why Trinity Baptist has to be all about the gospel. We cannot simply be a community organization helping people live better lives. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't live a better life. Without the Holy Spirit, you are a slave of sin, and no matter what government program we have, no matter what church program we have, no matter what 12-step program we're involved in, no matter what community service or organization we give, without being born again, it will not help. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not please God. Verse 13. If you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is a very important verse that we must come to grips with. We must. Number two in your notes. Those whose lives are dominated and controlled by the sinful nature do not have eternal life. Listen to John MacArthur. This is a quote from a man that knows a little bit more than me. The person who gives no evidence of the presence, power, and fruit of God's Spirit in his life has no legitimate claim to Christ. The person who has no evidence of the presence, power, and fruit of God's Spirit has no legitimate claim to Christ. James Montgomery Boyce says this: if you live like a non-Christian, you probably are one. So let's stop right here. Let's stop right here. Maybe you're here today and you claim to be a Christian. And there are millions of people all over the world that claim to be Christians, but they have not experienced the life-changing power of the gospel. You're here today and you claim to be a Christian, but you are still living your life dominated by the sin nature. You have not experienced the Holy Spirit setting you free from sin. You need to come talk to an elder. You need to come talk to an elder. You must be born again. You must be born again. Real Christians sin. Real Christians sin. In fact, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to see your sin. The closer you get to Jesus, when you first become a Christian, you're probably going to go, I'm doing really good. I'm a great Christian. Man, I've got this Christian life down pat. I thank God I'm not like other men. That sound familiar? The closer you get to Jesus, your attitude's going to be, I am so grateful for God's grace because I can see more and more how I fall short of it every day. I'm not talking about being perfect. I said this last week. If real Christians are perfect, you need a new pastor. Badly. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that claim to be Christians and are still living life dominated and controlled by the sin nature. I'm talking about people that claim to be Christians and live like non-Christians. If you haven't experienced the Holy Spirit coming into your heart and giving you the power to live a completely different life, please come and talk to an elder. You must be born again. You must be born again. My greatest fear is that a member of Trinity Baptist Church would die and go to hell. Please make sure that Christ came into your heart and changed your life. Number three in your notes. Those who are putting to death the corrupted thoughts, attitudes of the world by the liberating power of the Spirit have eternal life. That's what verse 13 says. If you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Those who are putting to death the corrupted thoughts, attitudes of the world by the liberating power of the Holy Spirit have eternal life. Verse 14 confirms this. Take a look at it. Verse 14 explains further Paul's point. Take a look. Verse 14. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Stopping your life of sin, listen, stopping your life of sin is only possible by the Holy Spirit. Stopping your life of sin is only possible by the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can only put to death your old life if you are already saved. Do you see the difference? I'm going to stay on this for a little while because I don't want anyone to leave without misunderstanding me. You can only put to death sin in your life if you are already saved. In other words, I'm not going to put to death the sin in my life so that I can become saved. Good luck with that, by the way. I don't have eternal life because in my own effort, I successfully changed my own life. I don't have eternal life because I was living this way and I summoned my spiritual power and now I have put to death the deeds of the body and I'm living according to Christ. No. Those who are being led by the Spirit of God have already become sons of God. If you're being led by the Spirit of God, you are a child of God. If by the power of the Holy Spirit you are putting to death sin and putting off sin and putting on righteousness, then you are a child of God. Number four in your notes. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. What is Christ trying to do in your life? What does it look like? What does it look like to put off the old sinful self, to get rid of that old master, and put on Christ? What does that look like? Keep your bookmark in Romans 8 and join me in a beautiful passage, Colossians chapter 3. And I want to remind you about how Paul's letters work. Paul's letters are very easy to outline. Very easy to outline. I'll outline all of Paul's letters to you right now. Point number one, gospel. Point number two, response. That's it. Point number one, gospel. Point number two, response. Look at Colossians 3, verse 1. Therefore, what's he saying? He's referring back to the beautiful gospel he has just preached in chapters 1 and 2. In light of all that we have in Christ, in light of God's undeserved grace in our life, in light of the beautiful gospel, in light of the grace of God that has been poured out, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, you see it? If you have already been saved, do this. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died. It's already happened. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You are saved. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, you will be revealed with him in glory. Because of God's amazing grace in your life, verse 5, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abuse of speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. See, you're saved already. As those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And it goes on, What's the response of wives to God's amazing grace? What's the response of husbands to God's amazing grace? What's the response of children to God's amazing grace? What's the response of slaves to God's amazing grace? It just goes on in this beautiful, this is how you live, and every one of Paul's epistles does the same thing. And you can only put off the old and put on the new by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number 5 in your notes. By the power of the Spirit, we can put sin to death and enjoy the privilege of righteousness. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. I was still working for that guy, and I fell, and I hurt my shoulder, and I hurt it really bad. I couldn't do this for months. And I went home. He had no workers' comp or insurance or anything like that, so I just went home and put ice on my shoulder, and my dad said, I want you to quit that job. I don't want you to work for him anymore. So I quit that job. I quit that job. Guess what job I got next? Guess who my next employer was? You. You. And what a wonderful employer you are. And that's an example of my life in Christ. Satan was my master, and I was set free from him. And I've been given a new master, Jesus Christ. I've been given a new master, Jesus Christ. I wasn't set free from him so I could run my own life. I was set free from this master so that I could obey this one. So how do you have victory? What can you do? Let me give you, as I finish up here quickly, let me give you 5 quick steps for how to have victory over temptation. This is in your notes. How to have victory over temptation. Number 1, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangled us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, when I have great discouragement in my own Christian life, it's when my eyes are on me. It's when my eyes are on me. My failures, my sins, my inadequacies, and I begin to be very discouraged about my Christian life. But Jesus Christ, where is he right now? His Spirit is in my heart. Where is he physically right now? At the right hand of the throne of God, representing me. When I fix my eyes on Jesus, that's when I have victory. Trusting in him and not in myself. Number 2. Number two, treasure God's word in your heart. Treasure God's word in your heart. Why does that help? Look behind me on the screen, Psalm 119, 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commands. Your word I have treasured in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. You know, there's a lot of great Christian books out there. There's a lot. And they're good. And I recommend a lot of them. And I recommend you read them. They're excellent, excellent reading. They help you a lot. But nothing, nothing, nothing keeps you from sin like reading this. Treasure God's word in your heart. Why? To keep you from sinning. Number three, trust God's faithful provision. Trust God's faithful provision. 1 Corinthians 10:13, behind me on the screen. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. Isn't that awesome? Real Christians get tempted, and real Christians fall into temptation. But there's three beautiful words in that verse I want you to see. God is faithful. God is faithful when you are tempted. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He will not allow Satan to tempt you so strongly that you fall into temptation and there's nothing you can do about it. You do not have to give in. You have the power to resist. God will not allow Satan to tempt you so much that he just overpowers you and you have to sin. And he'll always provide a way of escape. Always. So look for it, because it's always there. Number four, embrace and enjoy the privilege of righteousness. You know, the thing about diets, my dad had a diet for a very long time because of his heart disease and because of other things that he struggled with in life. And my dad always had a saying. The doctor would always say, don't eat this, 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 don't eat this. And my dad would always throw away the paper because he'd say, I can summarize everything you just said in one sentence. If it tastes good, spit it out. Some people think of Christianity like that. If it's fun, it's sin. That's not Christianity. It's not Christianity. Listen, brothers and sisters, non-believers are stuck with sin. We're the only ones that get to rise above it. Embrace and enjoy your new God-given privilege of righteousness. Believers are the only ones that get to enjoy that. And finally, number five. Seek encouragement and support from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Enan, do I have Hebrews 3:13 on there? I do not. Okay, that's my fault. Seek encouragement and support from your brothers and sisters in Christ. I cannot live for Jesus without you. And you can't live for Jesus without each other. That's why church exists. That's why it is not good enough to sit at home and go online and listen to a sermon and say, I went to church. The sermon is just a small part. I cannot live for Jesus without you. And you can't live for Jesus without one another. So seek the support of your brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to challenge you right now to pray for one another. Turn to the person next to you and pray for each other, that God, by His Holy Spirit, will give you victory over sin.